With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Stephen Langford, Kyle Madsen in with you up until 4 o'clock. You may know me from the morning show with Jolo and Dibs. Also do the pregame show from 5 to 6 on Monday through Friday. You know Kyle. He's the producer for Bonte, Steiny, and Guru. We are on halfway through the show. Got another half left. On the Chilton Autobody text line from the 95795 from the 650, you convinced me the Giants are going to the playoffs. So I think that's what we did in that last segment. We convinced everyone that the Giants are making the playoffs this year. They're winning.
That's exactly what I wanted.
They're winning the National League West, as a matter
of fact. Yeah, but not because they're going to be good, but because the National League West is going to be really bad. I think 68 games wins it.
Dude,
the Dodgers are 1-10. The odds for the Dodgers to win the NL West are 1-10, which means to win a dollar, you have to bet $10.
My God.
That's crazy.
$1. It is crazy.
They are, you know, they're halfway to the Braves record for the most consecutive division titles won in a row. The Braves hold that record for the East. They held it for 14 straight seasons.
Yeah. Through the 90s, they were just dominant.
And the Dodgers, they've done it. Yeah, I think it was from... I want to say from, oh man, I can't even remember the year. I want to say it was from like 95 to something, or maybe 1990, but they did it for 14 seasons. And the Dodgers right now, I mean, it's crazy to think, because the Dodgers have just been dominating the NL West for the past decade, but they've only done it 7 straight times. So compared to that, it'd be a whole nother decade of dominance should the Dodgers actually catch up to that. And I could see that actually maybe even happening.
So between 1991 and 2005.
Damn.
The Braves won the NL East or the NL West. They were in the NL West from 91 to 93. They won the division every year except 1994. They finished second. That was their first year in the NL East.
That's crazy.
It's wild.
That's ridiculous. Man, I don't know if the Dodgers are going to catch up to that, but we can just expect that the Dodgers are going to be very good for a very long time. Speaking of a team that was good for a very long time, that has taken a drop off this year, but we hope to be good in the future, and that's the Golden State Warriors. And they traded for one Andrew Wiggins, and we've heard some talk from Steve Kerr about how he feels with Wiggins being on the team. We've heard from Draymond Green basically comparing him to Kevin Durant as a defender, and also, like, he's no slouch. The fact that he's averaged just over 20 points a game, like, that's just that's not a mistake. He's still done that. I forgot what the actual term was that Draymond used to describe him, but basically he's not some slouch. You know,
yeah.
It's still 20 points a game. But Steph Curry, he spoke at practice earlier and talked about Andrew Wiggins.
I've been watching, obviously, and seeing just the what he's capable of on a nightly basis. You know, he's a walking 20 points for sure. And the intangibles that he can bring in terms of some speed, you know, cutting, his length on defense, all those things.
You know what's funny? Oh, we'll get into that. He's a walking 20 points. That's high praise coming from Steph, for one. But watching these past few games when Klay's been on the bench at the same time as Steph, Klay knows that he's probably not going to get back into the game. And more than anybody, Klay wants to actually play and be on the court. Steph's out there. He's getting up. He's cheering. You know, he's going pretty crazy whenever some guy hits a three, you know, and gets a four-point play, kind of like Steph, and he sees something that he really likes. But Klay... the excitement's just not there.
He's chilling.
He's just forced to be there. He's totally obligated. He could be on vacation doing whatever he wants, but
I don't think he doesn't enjoy it though.
Maybe it's just Clay being Clay.
Yeah, it is. He's just hanging out, man.
Did you see? I was so glad someone read his lips when Russell Westbrook was going off in that last Rockets game, because he just basically said, "Why are you mad, bro? What are you mad for?
I think that just embodies Clay Thompson. I think that's why he's such an effective player.
Yeah.
Because it's like the moment's never too big, never gets flustered. Just like, dude, we're hoping, man.
Yeah.
Why are you, you're up 35, 6 minutes left. What are you mad for?
What are you mad for, bro? And then he asks again, what are you mad about? And then Wiggins is just sitting there smiling. I think Wiggins is kind of the same way. From all accounts, when he was on the Timberwolves, the reason that, you know, Jimmy Butler kind of went off about how him and Towns, they don't have that winning mentality like a number one overall pick should. I think it's because Wiggins is more just a chill dude.
Yeah, he's not super fiery.
Chilled out, kind of just he's a talented player, but kind of just likes to, you know, he's a video game guy, you know, kind of like Clay is.
I'm fascinated by how that dynamic is going to work when the Warriors are good again.
In what sense? What are you talking about?
Like, Harrison Barnes played a role for the Warriors where he could just kind of be that really quiet guy. They called him the senator, super interested in politics, and could just kind of hang out and be that chill presence.
I just dropped a pen. Sorry.
Figure it out, man. And if that's how Wiggins is going to be in the locker room, that's one thing. But, like, when the ball tips off, like, that mentality's got to change a little bit. There's a switch that has to flip. And he can't – the word that they've been using on Bonte, Stein, and Guru is floating, where you just kind of forget he's on the floor for 4 or 5 minutes at a time. And when Harrison Barnes did that with peak Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, that was fine. But those guys are going to be something less than their peak. They'll still be really good, but something less than their peak, where Wiggins can't just not exist on the floor.
Right.
Steph mentioned his length on defense. He's going to be very important in switching on that end of the floor and being aggressive. And when you switch, you have to aggressively come off of those switches. You can't lollygag around a screen, or, you know, if you're helping on the weak side, you can't just kind of take your time getting there. There has to be an urgency for 48 minutes. You can't just have a 3 minute spurt of it in the third quarter because, like, okay, yeah, I'm into this now for a minute.
Like, do you feel like you've seen that from Wiggins so far in the small little sample size that we have?
I've seen both. I've seen less, I'm going to call it aloofness. I've seen less of that than I was expecting. Like, he seems to be very active on the defensive end. He had a really nice play the other night where he blocked, I'm forgetting which Rockets shot he blocked, but he blocked their jump shot. It went to Draymond and he ran the floor. Draymond delivered a pass and he laid it up.
Right.
Like, that's the kind of play where it's like very active on defense. And then after the block shot, getting up the floor, understanding that it's time to run. That's not necessarily what they did in Minnesota. And it's going to take a mindset change for him, because he went from Kansas, where he could just athletically be better than everybody and could survive, to a situation in Minnesota that wasn't great, where he was never pushed to be assertive or aggressive or urgent.
He came in and he was supposed to change the franchise.
Yes.
He was supposed to turn it over and be the guy before Towns was there. And then Towns came along and, you know, Towns kind of took on that role. And I don't know at the time, because he was so young when he came into the NBA, it's still crazy to me that Wiggins is 25. Like, you'd think he's
like he's been around for 10 years.
You know, it's kind of like how I look at Derrick Rose right now. Like, Derrick Rose, it feels like he's just an old man in this game, but he's not like the same as, say, an Andre Iguodala or a Melo or a LeBron, even from like the early, like, it was 2008 when he got into the league, you know, so because they were just so young. But I do think that will play a factor with the Warriors going forward. Like, Steve Kerr mentioned it at the beginning of the season. Or at the beginning of when they got him in the trade. He's not going to be forced to be the leader. He could just go out there and play basketball. He doesn't have to worry about all that other unwritten, intangible stuff. And I think, as far as defense goes, I've liked what I've seen from him.
Me too.
Defensively. Like, he's already done things as far as blocks and steals are concerned that he didn't do in every season with the Timberwolves that he was a part of the team.
He has all the physical tools to be an elite defender. Like, he's tall, he's lengthy, he's quick, he's explosive. All he has to do is try. And I think that that's where being with the Warriors is going to benefit him the most. Because if you're not trying on defense, you're just not going to play. Like, that's just... Steph Curry, not a great defender, but he tries his ass off. And that's why he can stay on the floor and be effective, because he is going to be pesky. He is going to get his hands on deflections. He is going to come up with some steals. He is going to strip someone as they go by him because he doesn't give up on the play.
Is Andrew Wiggins going to make every... Kind of like a Steph Curry, too. Is he going to elevate those around him? I think that was what was put on him when he was with the Timberwolves.
Absolutely.
Is he going to be that Steph type who just, when he's on the court, he makes everyone better? But it seems like Wiggins, without any starters on the floor, like when he's out there with guys like Kai Bowman and Juan Toscano-Anderson and Alan Smilegate, like, I think Steve Kerr's done a very good job as far as just keeping Andrew Wiggins in the game when he's playing around these other guys. But it's not going to be like that when Steph comes back. And that's why Steph needs to come back as soon as possible. It's looking like March 1st is going to be the return date for him. But you need to see how Wiggins reacts with Steph on the floor, because Steph's just a different player than anyone in basketball. And anyone that's going to be on this Warriors team, he's going to be the most important one. Like, I didn't get why people wanted to rush Klay back. It's like, just give Klay the gap year. He's got a long, you know, 8 to 12 months for a torn ACL, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you need. But I think with Steph, it's vital that he makes his return. And when Steph says he's a walking 20 points, that's because he has been a walking 20 points since he's been on the Warriors. So with Steph back, who knows what that could do for Wiggins and his offense?
Let's say he doesn't average 20. Because if Steph and Klay have their regular usage rates, I don't know if he's going to be able to average 20. But let's say it's 18 or 19, and he's playing really high-level defense. That's the kind of player that can put the Warriors back in contention. If they have a guy who can be the defensive stopper, not saying he'll be as crafty of a defender as Andre Iguodala, but the guy that, like, hey, their best wing player, you're going to go make life difficult for him.
He's got to be able to pass, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's
to be a playmaker.
That's the one thing that was so good about the Warriors in the past, was that, you know, they turned the ball over a lot, you know, and they were in their turnover ratio was pretty high, but they were just getting so many passes off anyway that the assist to turnover ratio was actually okay. You know, you felt like they were turning the ball over a lot, but compared to the amount of assists that they were getting, you know, they kind of nullified it. So can he be the guy who's going to be an efficient passer, one who doesn't turn the ball over and can also play a little defense? His all-around game is going to have to elevate. What do you next season? I mean, let's just say they don't even make the conference finals. You know, let's just say they don't, like, they get into the West. They might be getting in at a 7 or an 8 seed, but they lose early. Like, are you going to start to kind of wonder, you know, what's the future for this team at that point? Like, what do you feel like next year is your expectation for them as far as when all their starters are on the floor?
It depends a little bit on what their bench looks like. But when you think about the Warriors as they're currently constructed, what's their realistic championship window? 3 or 4 years?
At that, yeah.
Like, with this current group, like 4 years max, more realistically, probably 2 or 3. If they're not in the conference finals next year, or they lose kind of, they're the 7 seed and they lose to the Lakers or Clippers in the first round in 4 or 5 games, that's very worrisome, because there's not going to be anything, assuming everybody's healthy, there's not going to be anything to lean back on going, well, they got this coming. Because right now, you can deal with them being terrible, because it's like, dude, you got an all-star in Klay Thompson and a perennial All-NBA guy and Steph Curry both out. Draymond Green is probably coasting a little bit. This is a team coming off 5 straight runs to the final. They've played so many basketball games. They don't have that benefit next year.
Man,
like, if they don't come back next year, find their way into the finals or the conference finals, the 2021-22 season becomes very concerning.
That's the thing. And it's not like it's going to be like a disappointment, you know? Because
they've won 3 titles. They're fine.
They've done so much.
they've done it all.
It's okay. But also, I do feel like that championship window is incredibly small. I don't know how like I think Clay's style of play, as far as him alone and the age that he is, I feel like his style ages best just because he's going to be able to run around and try and get open and play pretty good defense and, you know, you score 40 points on four shots. I don't know. I mean, maybe that sort of...
That would be remarkable.
Again, I mean, that I feel like that goes way unnoticed. He scored, however many it was on 11 dribbles, but he also scored 43 on four dribbles one time, and I feel like that is like the most underrated game of Klay Thompson's career.
Where Klay Thompson is going to start suffering a little bit is on the defensive end. Like, if you lose that little half step, like, Andre Iguodala was a terrific defender well into his 30s, and Klay is not well into his 30s, but it becomes more difficult to guard guys like Trae Young, those quicker guards, the De'Aaron Foxes. Now he's more limited to, you know, shooting guards and normal twos and threes, and that hurts their versatility a little bit.
Yeah, and I didn't understand the notion that, you know, like, without Wiggins, it's just if you bring in a shooting guard and with D'Angelo Russell, you could just move Klay to the three. Maybe that would be the case next year, and you could just do that for defensive purposes. That'd be fine. But the years after that, it would just be more tough.
It's not going to get easier.
No.
And that's where I think it's important to, when you're reining in your expectations for the Warriors, they might not be, like, they're not bad. Like, Klay, Steph, and Dre, they're set core three guys, are still going to be really good next year. But they're not 24 anymore, where it's like, hey, wait till they're in their prime. They're now in the back end of their prime. It's not going to get easier through the next 2, 3, 4 years. In fact, it's going to get substantially more difficult. And that's why guys like Andrew Wiggins are so essential. That's why these first-round picks, if they choose to keep them, are going to be so essential, because you have to start finding talent that can replace the Currys and Thompsons and Draymonds. Maybe never be as good as them, because the Warriors found some transcendent players over that three-year stretch at the earlier part of the last decade, but they have to start replenishing the cupboard at some point, because life's not going to get easier.
I will say this, and we talked about this a little bit earlier too, and it's just rolling with the punches, seeing that this team is going to be, you know, probably going into the season, you're going to have a losing record, and it's just another year where you're trying to develop these guys. When we look at, you know, we're coming off, we talked about the Giants at length, and when we're coming off three championships for them, and this downside to the core that they originally had, it's not going too well. Like, it's not going the way that they expected it to go. And the Warriors, like, when they're on the other side of this hill, when they're going kind of on the way down, really. Like, I mean, they're not, mm-hmm. they could be going back up, but really they're slowly going on the way down. It's kind of a nice fall from grace. It's a pleasant one. It's like one where you feel right. Like they still at least have a chance. And I think that's all you could really ask for right now as a Warrior fan, because this could be going in a completely different way. You could be the Cavs. You could be the Cavs where they just got no hope anymore after 2016, beating one of the better teams the 73-9 team in the finals, and now it's just like that. Just, I mean, the slope on that, just boom. It's like a San Francisco hill for the Cavs.
We talked earlier about the bottom five teams in the NBA. Which one would you want to be over the next 5 years? And it's like Warriors, Hawks, probably Timberwolves, and then there's a pretty wide gap, and then it's Cavs and Knicks. That's where the Cavaliers are at.
It's crazy.
It's very tough.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the Timberwolves, they haven't really had a
one
rise.
Playoff trip.
You know, they haven't. And then, I mean, the Knicks obviously haven't been good really,
yikes,
like, for a while. And then, I mean, when since what, like, Carmelo was there maybe, and they slightly had a slight chance. But other than that, they haven't done much. They've just handled everything terribly. Like, this is just a part of sports, and it's mm-hmm. fine if they maybe don't even win another championship. Like, it's okay, and then it's going to be a beautiful thing for what's to come in the future for your team again, like a whole new generation of Golden State Warriors.
The looming thing here with Wiggins and how good he is with Steph and Klay, if he comes back next year plays with those guys, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, starts and averages like 25 a game and is all of a sudden shooting 38-plus percent from three and is playing all NBA-level defense. Now with the draft picks they've accumulated, plus Wiggins playing at that level, now the Warriors are serious players for basically any star that has decided they want out or decided they want to be traded or any team that decides they're going to trade their star to try and rebuild.
Right.
Like, I don't think the Warriors have that asset now, but if Wiggins plays well, he suddenly becomes that asset.
If you want to make any sort of run in the playoffs, you need Wiggins to be the third best player on the floor.
Like if he's your
fourth or fifth best player, even like you're not going to go anywhere.
That's a problem.
You can't have Draymond Green again being third best player on. You don't have that luxury anymore. You need Wiggins to be the third best player on the team. I mean, hell, even a step up from Clay, like you'd be down for that to have him as your second best and Clay mm-hmm. even as your third. But it's looking like the pecking orders should be Steph, Clay, Wiggins, then Draymond, then whoever the starting center is going to be, whether that be Kevon Looney or whoever makes it into that starting role.
Marquise Chris, my guy.
You know, interesting, by the way, I've seen some mock drafts recently. And an argument against Steph coming back would be, for one, you don't want to get him injured. But also, if Steph does come back, then you're going to start winning some ball games, and that could affect your chances in the lottery at whatever pick you're going to get. I've seen James Wiseman fall from some draft boards and not – I've seen him fall from draft boards and have him not be the number one overall pick. I've seen somewhere even LaMelo's chosen before him at the third pick. And this guy from Dayton, I forgot his name already.
Obi Toppin
has been unbelievable, right? In the college basketball that I've watched. I've watched more college basketball this year than any other year that I ever have. Like Tyrese Halliburton, shout out Iowa State. Like they had him even going above James Wiseman.
Interesting.
Like mock drafts, I don't know if it's a for sure thing.
Keep in mind, too, as a person who writes for a site that does mock draft type stuff, you reach a point where you just try and do something different so people will click on your mock draft.
True. True.
But Wiseman not playing this year is a fascinating wrinkle. And what the Warriors decide their top need is going to be interesting. Because if Obi Toppin, if they decide like, yeah, hey, that's a guy who's going to be a 3-and-D guy and has all-star caliber talent, like that's the kind of player the Warriors plug in. And can play him right away at multiple spots, and he just fits into the rotation. Whereas with a guy like Wiseman, they don't have 2 to 3 years to wait and see if this guy develops.
No.
So that's going to be fascinating to see, is what the Warriors decide their needs are and what players they start to circle and key in.
Whether they go with the need as opposed to the best available option. Like if they do have that number one overall pick, some are saying that you should take Anthony Edwards. Well, he's a guard and he's so good. Mm-hmm. Like if you're watching him against Auburn, he's unreal. But also, you don't really think the Warriors necessarily need a guard when you already got Klay Thompson. You don't want to move him down a small forward mm-hmm. like next season. You want to keep him there at guard so he can keep guarding these twos on defense. So it's a, you know, I'm just think that I do feel like they would be going, though, for their best need or their biggest need as opposed to the best player available. That's just what that's how the Warriors strike me. That's how they strike me as. Like, they are not going to be that team that's just going to take the best player because, you know, he's had the best stats or whatever. They're going to choose a guy who can be the best fit for the team next season and can make an immediate impact, too.
Yeah, and that immediate impact is what's important because we just talked about that championship window may not be closed, but it's shrinking, and it's going to start shrinking faster and faster. And so finding a guy that you can play immediately who can be in a rotation for 25-plus minutes a night is going to be essential.
We got the hunk managers of the 21st century. I forgot to get to that. We'll get to that next. We also got the best ballpark food. We're going to play a little game involving baseball food and whether it's fact or fiction. Ballpark food, fact or fiction? I don't know. Alliteration always works when it comes to naming those things. Stephen Langford, Kyle Madsen, we're in with you up until 4 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game.
Mm-hmm.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Stephen Langford, Kyle Madsen in with you up until 4 o'clock. Got about an hour and a half to go here, and this is going to be a fun segment because I just got a list of ballpark foods from our producer, Sam, and shout out to Bobby for playing the bangers. I need to say that in a cooler way, in a cooler fashion.
Lit something, AF.
There you go.
Something like hey, way Poistiny, less cringy.
There's a drop on there. Poistiny saying swagalicious. That's a good one.
Wait, which one?
Stiney says swagalicious.
Oh my God.
Swagalicious.
There's stuff that like.
That's fine.
He's the best.
Let's do ballpark
food. He's the absolute best. Ballpark food, though. Want to get to that because Sam's made a list here. And we're going to choose, and I got the list on me. You do not have the list.
I do not.
I am going to.
Can I real quick?
Yes.
Spring training games have started, by the way. Saw a highlight of Jorge Soler hitting a home run. Baseball's almost back, baby.
Getting you a little excited, huh?
It is. Baseball's my favorite sport, so.
You been to any spring training games before?
I used to live in Arizona, baby.
Really?
Yeah, I went to a lot of spring training games.
You have a favorite spring training memory? We were talking about it's the 40th anniversary of Miracle on Ice here when Team USA won. Is there like a true underdog story in spring training that you remember?
No, one time. No, not necessarily that because I literally can't remember who won any spring training game I ever went to. But there was one day where I was walking to leave the stadium while the game was going on because that happens a lot. And I couldn't even tell you who it was. I think it was a member of the Indians, maybe the Royals. I forget. But they hit one like over the scoreboard in left field and like out into the parking lot. It was the furthest home run I think I've ever seen in person. And he hit it like right over where I was walking. And that was really, really memorable.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
You should, if you've never been to spring training, guys, you should go. Like take a couple of days. You don't need to go for a week. Take a couple of days. Go hang out. It's such a great environment.
Yeah. And especially because it's like a lot of true baseball fans too. Like people, they go to spring training. Sure, there are some who are just there to be there for spring training, but for the majority of the people there, they're huge baseball fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can have a great, you know, conversation. Even though, I mean, if you're like, you know, say 8 or 9 Coors Light Silver Bullets deep, you know, you might be able to have a. I had a great conversation with a couple of people. Don't remember them, but I know they were great. I don't remember the actual conversation. I don't remember the content. I don't remember the meat of the conversation as we're getting into ballpark food here, but it was good conversation. I remember laughing a lot. Wasn't paying attention to the game. I don't remember what happened in the game
Wonderful.
At all. Yeah, went really well. So I got a bunch of foods here, and some could be fake, some could be real. This is ballpark food, fact or fiction. So I got a list of foods that are actual ballpark foods that they're going to be serving up this year, and I got a bunch of other food.
So I have to guess whether it's real or fake.
Fact or fiction.
Fact or fiction.
Yes, on this list of foods.
Okay.
Which is your favorite? Which is your favorite ballpark food? We asked about this earlier. I literally went over a myriad
of things. I think garlic fries are probably the move, although sometimes I'm in the mood for the helmet nachos.
The helmet nachos?
I'm a big helmet nacho guy.
Yeah. Those are so loaded, though, and you know, you'll just be like, they take a while.
Yeah, that's why you can spread it out over a few innings.
I think you want the food though to be quick, right? You want it to be good, but I don't think you want to be like munching on something from like
if it's
from,
like a playoff. If it's like a playoff game, I'll probably not eat anything. But if it's a June game against pick random team,
yeah.
If it's a June game against the Mets, like I'm hanging out.
That's a helmet nacho game?
That's a bona fide helmet nacho
game. Oh, my gosh. All right. Here's the first one that I'm going to list off, and you have to say, Kyle, whether it's fact or fiction. By the way, Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95-888-957-9570. Would love to hear about your favorite ballpark food. Want to hear from you on that. I would say, like, I would love you to join in on the game, fact or fiction, but there's just not enough time for that because we can't filibuster for every one of these foods.
That's what you think.
I mean, this one, we'll see. All right, here's the first one. A brat in a blanket, or a brat in a blanket, if you want to prefer.
Do you have a description of the food?
I do have a description. This is for the Milwaukee Brewers at Miller Park. It's a brat wrapped in melted cheese curds and topped with beer mustard in a pretzel bun.
That's 1,000% a real thing.
You're going with
That's
real?
Fact.
On that one?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my friend. That's actually fiction. That is not
a
real
thing. Good. Hey, that's a really good fictional food, Sam.
That is a really good fictional food. Would you want that?
Yeah. Hey, brewers. You're welcome for the idea.
I don't know, though. Brought in a blanket, like how it would be wrapped in melted cheese curds? Dude.
I just thought like that meant there was cheese in it and then you wrapped it. Keep going.
My God. Like in a pretzel bun. I like a good pretzel bun with anything Sick. That I'm eating. I'm a big pretzel bun guy. But yeah, that was, I mean, you'd figure that'd be a fact, though,
I'd eat
right?
that.
You would?
Fact, I would eat that.
From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, garlic fries. Garlic fries is really good.
It's the go-to, man.
Garlic fries, and you could share.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You could go, I mean, I'd like it if I could just eat an entire pizza, like if that was applicable. But sure. I feel like it's kind of
frowned
upon.
You gotta have a little self-respect.
Yeah, it's kind of frowned upon to just walk around with an entire large pizza. But I'd be up to do, like, if that were acceptable.
College.
If that were acceptable at a baseball game, I'd so go around with that. Okay. Here's the next ones. A peanut butter and bacon sandwich. And these are at the Minnesota Twins games, and it comes with jelly glazed bacon on toasted sourdough. A peanut butter and bacon sandwich. Fact or fiction?
That sounds like a fact. That sounds like something that you would eat in Minnesota.
That is a fact. You're correct on that one.
Thank you.
That is actually, you know what? That'd be a really, have you ever had a peanut butter burger before?
Not a burger, no.
So when I was in Chico and we were at the Madison Bear Garden, that was a very popular place to go. Aaron Rodgers is from there and went to high school there and played at Butte.
Did you guys hear this place is called the Madison Bear Garden?
The Madison Bear Garden. Sweet. It's a great place to go. Shout out to you if you go to Chico State and you go to the Bear. That's what we call it. That's what us Wildcats call it, Kyle. We call it the Bear because we're just that sick.
Please.
But they have a peanut butter burger there, though. And I kind of mess with it. Like, I kind of mess with it.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
It's actually legit. But also, the peanut butter kind of like, it becomes a little liquidy. So it's tough. What's up, Bobby?
Is there cheese on the peanut butter burger?
Can't remember if there's cheese on it or not. That's actually
because I'm out.
Question.
If there's cheese, that weirds me out.
I don't think there was cheese. If I'm trying to remember correctly, but peanut butter burger—that's a real thing, though. A peanut butter and bacon sandwich. So shout out to the Twins for throwing that out. I'd love to go to Minnesota for a game. By the way, the next on the list is the Fritos pie corn dog. I mean, this is served at Astros game, so shout out to the Astros for this. This is a foot-long hot dog covered in crushed-up Fritos with queso and Texas chili. What do you think? Fact or fiction on the Fritos pie corn dog sold over at Houston Astros games?
I didn't hear anyone bang on a trash can, so I'm going to go fact.
It is a fact. You're correct on that one. That's a good one. Fritos pie corn dog. I mean,
that sounds really good.
A foot long, it's covered in crushed up Fritos, so I suppose that makes up like the, you know, the corn dog aspect
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
And then
I really want to get to Minute Maid Park. It looks phenomenal.
Yeah, but I mean that place is going to be, that's going to be so weird, man, with the Astros this year.
It's going to be a weird vibe.
Like
baseball needed a villain, I think though.
It's been
because,
a while.
Like the Yankees and Red Sox, like it's old, like. We get it. No one likes the Yankees, and we get it. The Red Sox turned into a dynasty or whatever, but, like, baseball needed someone to be relevant in some way, and I think this is the way to do it.
This is going
to
be a time, though, where a lot of opposing fans, I feel like, as they've just munched on their Fritos pie corn dog, like, after they've got done with that, they're going to start talking a little mess if you're an opposing fan to the Astros. It could get pretty hostile. Over there.
Yeah, but I think baseball needs that a little bit.
Man.
It's too gentlemanly. It's just too like, yeah.
Man,
here hanging out.
It was Guru who was on with Jolo and Dibs. That was earlier this week, and he came in for the handoff, and he said, since when is everybody a gangster just wishing that these guys would get thrown at? Like, I understand you want some sort of what's the word here that I'm looking for? You want some sort of punishment, I guess, is just the simplistic word that I can go with. You want something to hurt these Astros, but really? Like, you want pitchers to legitimately throw this round rock that they have the ability to throw 95 miles an hour at a person when there's a possibility that they could miss up, hit them in the head, and can seriously injure these people?
And that's where people go, oh, just hit him in the lower back. It's like, dude, that's still, you're throwing a projectile at somebody. I talked to a buddy of mine who pitched in the minors, and he mentioned that he thinks it's going to be less prevalent guys getting thrown at and more prevalent like guys going spikes up into second base or going hard into second base or slapping down like hard tags and trying to get retribution that way. But ultimately, if the Astros win the World Series, like, no amount of throwing at them is going to matter.
Yeah, that's just going to nullify.
And the other thing, let's say the Astros open up against the Angels. Are you going to plunk the first batter of the year and just put a guy on first to open your first start? Like, I just don't think that's worth it.
That's probably not going to happen. All right, so Fritos pie, corn dog, a peanut butter and bacon sandwich is what we went with, and a brat and a blanket, which is like, just about
it was
as,
a lie. That's a lie in a blanket.
That's about as realistic, though, of a food if that's being served as at Brewers games. And thank you from the 209. Retribution was the word I was looking for. Mm. You do want a little bit of that. I want my restitution. Shout out to Shannon Sharp. The donut burger. This is served at Phillies games. It's a bacon cheeseburger with cherry pepper jam, and the bun is two glazed donuts. Kyle, is that fact or fiction? Is that an actual food that would be served?
Caveat answer, I think it's fictionally sold at Phillies games. I think it's an actual thing that's sold.
You think, okay, so you think the donut burger is a real thing.
I just don't think it's at Phillies games.
You're just not sure it's sold at Phillies games? Well, yeah. You're wrong. It is sold at Phillies games. It's an absolute fact. The donut burger. I mean, like, I'm into that.
I'm out.
You're out on the donut burger?
Yeah, that's just too much, like,
really?
I'm almost 30, man. That much sweet is not good for me.
Yeah. I get where you're coming from, but live a little. Live a little and, like, literally key emphasis on little. Chilton Autobody text line 957-95-888-957-9570 if you want to mention your favorite ballpark foods. We are getting into ballpark food fact or fiction.
Spring training started, baby.
Oh man, can't wait for the number 85, that random number 85 minor leaguer. You're just like,
hey,
who
that
is this?
That random number 85 might be Mike Trout one day.
True. From the 707, I grew up eating round table personal pizzas at the Coliseum before the first pitch in no less than 100 games. Might get an ice cream sandwich or a lemon freeze, but from Aguirre to Tejada, it wasn't baseball without that pizza. I can see where they're coming from, but they've kind of shortened the amount of pizza on that round table personal pizza that they used to sell. Or maybe I just got older and it just became more, you know.
Just like your mind's eye.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of chocolate malt at baseball games, too.
That's a winner.
Chocolate malt guy.
Okay.
You know, it's very easy, you know, it's good. Mm-hmm. And also you could eat it in the sun. I'm a big fan of chocolate malts. You a chocolate malt guy?
I can rock with it.
You can rock with chocolate malts. All right. You ready? Bacon wrapped egg rolls. Now these are served at Comerica Park, Detroit Tigers, obviously. So it's an egg roll on a stick wrapped with bacon and garnished with queso fresca. A bacon-wrapped egg roll served at Tigers games at Comerica Park.
I think that's fake, because why would you put queso fresca on an egg roll?
I mean, why would you not?
It's outrageous.
Queso fresca can be on anything. I mean, you're right. It is fiction.
Yeah.
It is fiction, but you could put queso on anything, dude. I could have a peanut butter and queso sandwich if it really calls for it.
I don't think you could.
For the 415, exactly. From the 415, Oracle has a crazy good crab sandwich, I heard. Is that true? Of course.
Yeah.
The crazy crab sandwich.
I've had people visit from out of state and will go to a baseball game, and they will, as we're walking in, go, where do I get the crab sandwich? Like, what?
Yeah.
We're going to watch the Giants.
It's legit, though. It's legit, and it's totally worth the money. I recommend anyone go get that thing.
Okay. That's a real food.
The Coney Dog Egg Roll. Oh, this is that Tigers game. This is just a real one. I just totally read this off wrong. But this is what's actually served at the Tigers games at Comerica Park. This is a real one. There's more lists for facts, so we'll just go with this. But the Coney Dog Egg Roll, this is a real one. It's basically a chili cheese dog without the bun stuffed inside an egg roll with mustard and onions on top. So it's a chili cheese egg roll, and you don't have the bun on it. It's pretty good.
I would try that.
Yeah, legit. The Dinger Dog. This is served at Braves games in Atlanta. It's basically a foot-long pig in a blanket that's stuffed with cheese. They also have a chicken and waffle boat that comes in a long, hollowed-out waffle bun. This is the dinger dog at Braves games.
That sounds real.
It is real. You're right on that. Yeah. You've only gotten a couple that are wrong so far.
I'm 4-2. I'm keeping track.
You've only gotten a couple that are wrong. You're actually doing pretty good on this. But, man, I'm a lot of these fake ones and a lot of these real ones, I'd pretty much take either one. Sounds like cholesterol. It's just like you're going to have heart problems.
The rat on the table here is this all sounds good until you see the ballpark price tag on it.
Right.
And that's what usually deters me from going wild on ballpark food.
Really?
Yeah, I went to a Rangers game, and the ballpark at Arlington's beautiful, by the way. I know they're building a new one. I think it's called Globe Life Park now. Globe Life Park is a beautiful spot. But they had the boomstick for Nelson Cruz I mentioned earlier. It's that 2-foot hot dog with all the stuff on it. I was going to get it until I saw it was like $28. And I'm not putting myself into a food-induced coma for $28.
Worth it. All right, so we mentioned Rocky Mountain Oysters over at Coors Field. Well, here's another one. Bison Bites, 100% real bison sliders with maple waffle buns and coated in a freshly made Colorado chili sauce.
Yeah.
Bison Bites, fact or fiction?
Fact.
It's a fiction. It's not real. Shout out to the guy from Denver, from Colorado. Who was able to make that one up. So Bison Bites are actually fiction. A pulled pork patty melt. This is from Kansas City for the Royals at Kauffman Stadium. It's a funnel cake with barbecue pulled pork, fried onion, shredded cheddar, and Monterey
Jack
cheese.
That's so Kansas. That's the most Missouri thing I've ever heard.
And a jalapeno skewer.
So Kansas City, that's the most Missouri thing I've ever heard.
So you're going to go with yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It's fiction, but it used to be real. We are going with current foods here. Sam, putting a little bit of a trick on you.
Oh, that's cheating!
Putting a little bit of a trick on you.
No, I'm counting
you.
That as a victory. That's going in the W column.
This was discontinued in 2018.
In the Kyle Madsen record book, that's a W.
A pulled pork patty melt from Kansas City. I'd be into that. Avocado Bites. This is in New York at Yankee Stadium. Deep fried slices of avocado served with a spicy dipping sauce.
No chance they'd serve avocado in New York. Fiction.
I mean, that's fact. Dude, you're falling
off
slipping. Here.
I'm done with this game. I hate this game.
I'd be into avocado bites, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course.
Why would you not think they're in New York?
Because
they don't like avocados out there? That was a terrible New York accent trying to pronounce avocado.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The foul pole. This is at a Rangers game. It's a single 2-pound chicken tender that comes with ranch and honey mustard. And they also have bacon-wrapped hot wings and a chicken and waffle dish served in a waffle cone.
A 2-pound chicken tender? No chance.
That comes with ranch and honey mustard.
No chance.
It's fact.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
The Rangers are going to be serving a 2-pound
chicken
tender.
They're deep frying a 2-pound. Do you know how much 2 pounds of chicken is?
No.
That's so much chicken.
But I'd love to find out.
That's entirely too much chicken.
I'd love to find out.
How do you fry that and make sure it's cooked all the way through? Oh, no, I'm out.
Yeah, it sounds like.
I love a chicken tender, but I don't want that.
That's the salmonella special right there. By the way, Stephen Lankford and Kyle Madsen are in with you. You may know me from Joe Low and Dibs and the
five to six
show. And Kyle here, who's really started out hot, but is starting to struggle on the back end of this ballpark food fact or fiction. He's the producer for Bonte Steiny and Guru. You've heard his voice with them. The Great Lakes Gaggle, by the way, chilling on a bite text line 95795 if you want to get in your favorite ballpark foods. The Great Lakes Gaggle, this is at Wrigley Field for the Cubs. Roasted goose deep fried and smothered in gravy on a Kaiser roll. Roasted goose, deep fried, smothered
in gravy.
Can you
eat goose?
The Great Lakes Gaggle. I'm sure you can.
Fiction.
It is fiction. I kind of gave it away.
I'm back over 500.
I did kind of give that away. But I'd be into that too. The Great Lakes Gaggle.
I don't want to eat goose.
Shout out to Sam for creating this
name.
He's
great.
The Great Lakes Gaggle. Oh my gosh. Are you ready for this next one?
Also, RIP goose. Love
nice.
Top Gun.
Nice. You ready for that next one?
Yeah.
Nice. Alligator skewers. You great balls of fire. Alligator skewers. This is served at Marlins Park for the Miami Marlins. Chopped and skewered gator meat sold by street vendors outside the stadium. Alligator skewers. You going with that? Don't turn around and look at him.
I'm doing it.
Why?
So they're sold by the Marlins street vendors.
Yes.
They're not just a random guy named Bob who comes down to sell his
gator. This is a legit thing with the Marlins. Derek Jeter approved it.
Jeter walked in and said,
"I need Stanton gator skewers.
Needs to get out of here. We need gator skewers." Yes. Stat.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I think that's fiction.
It is fiction. Okay. I don't know how I'm supposed to paint that in a correct light, but yeah, it's fiction.
Oh, that gator did.
You just make a joke, Bobby. Dessert nachos served at Shea Facts. Stadium for the Mets. Fried tortilla chips dusted with cinnamon and sugar, topped with a smoked chocolate cherry Nutella sauce. Chocolate-covered cherry sprinkles and whipped cream.
Yeah.
You're going to go with fact on that?
I'm going fact.
It's fiction.
What?
Yeah, that's...
Ooh, why would you fake that? My heart.
I mean, I don't
broken.
Know.
Broken. That sounds amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, look, that was a good one, I felt like. All right, this is another one. Twisted topped pretzels. These are served at Cardinals games. You get three pretzel twists topped with pepperoni and cheese, buffalo chicken, or bacon and cheese. The twisted top pretzel at Cardinals games. Now,
yeah.
Sam's been super creative on these fiction ones, so I don't know how you're actually going to get it.
I think that's fact.
It is a fact. It is a fact. St. Louis also selling a giant 16-inch long slice of pizza this year called the Mega Slice. Give me that. I'm into that.
16-inch slice of pizza.
16-inch slice of pizza along with a little gator
that's
skewer. How about that? The next one that I want to go to here, ooh, this is a good one. The Mint Donut Super Sandwich. This is for the Padres. A giant 4-inch York peppermint patty sandwiched between two snickerdoodle cookies, in turn sandwiched between two donuts. So
no two, chance. Zero that's, chance that's
fake.
That's fiction. That's true.
Mint fiction. A mint donut super sandwich? What are you creating back there? You also might have a job in the future creating ballpark food for the major leagues and the minor leagues. Oh my God.
I'm not sure what's worse, the mind coming up with this or the guy that eats his string cheese just by chomping on it.
Look, dude. If you
and
don't
not
eat
stringing that cheese,
I am an adult. I am gonna munch on my string cheese. It's not like just I'm gonna munch on it as if it's a cheese stick. Do you string your mozzarella cheese sticks when it's deep fried? No, you bite right into them. All right, that's what I'm using. The candy cloud waffle cone.
This is
cone.
Going on for far too long.
This is going on for just the right amount of time. Candy cloud waffle cone. This is served at the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. A glove of cotton candy wrapped around a waffle cone filled with soft serve ice cream and topped with sprinkles. Fact or fiction on the candy cloud waffle cone? A glove of cotton
candy?
Yeah,
I'm gonna say true. I'm going to say that's a fact.
It is a fact. They were serving that over at Cincinnati. Toasted grasshoppers.
Yeah, at the Mariners games. That's true.
Wow, you really already got that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, toasted grasshoppers. What are they doing?
Yeah, it's up at whatever Safeco Field is called now.
Oh, my gosh. The Burgeritza. This is served in Atlanta at Braves games. A bacon cheeseburger on top of a pizza topped with another pizza. The Burgeritza.
That's not served at Braves games because it's not a real thing.
No, that's fact.
Get out of my face!
Fact.
Get out of my... No!
A bacon cheeseburger on top of a pizza topped with another pizza.
No!
So it's like a pizza bacon cheeseburger sandwich. You like that?
Dude, how matter of fact you said that. Like, that's a thing that should exist. That's like Frankenstein.
Yeah, the Burgeritza, though.
Your scientists were so concerned with whether they could that they didn't stop to think whether they should.
Wow. Wow. After eating all this, you're going to be sitting in your toilet going, that is one big pile of bleep. Rocky Mountain Po' Boy. This is served at Coors Field in Denver. This is the last one. We got to go to break here. But a po' boy sandwich filled with deep-fried Rocky Mountain oysters topped with garlic slaw, guacamole, green chili ranch, and pico de gallo.
Fake.
And whatever you, however you pronounce it, cotija cheese, however you pronounce that.
Fake.
That's fact. The Rocky Mountain po' boy. Rocky Mountain oysters put into a sandwich.
Gross.
We'll go over these next because Sam just kind of...
Should we? Do we need to do that?
Yes, because I really would like to just point out how great Sam is at creating these fake...
We can talk about it at the break.
These fake... No, we're...
That would make sense.
What are you guys doing back there? Seriously. Oh, my gosh. Coming up, though, I do want to talk just... I brought this up before the show, and this is kind of general, but But I want to know, like, which sport of the three major sports is in the best place right now? Because what we're seeing with the Astros, what we're seeing in the NBA with load management and everything going on there, and of course with football and the new CBA and all that's come out about that, it's interesting where we're at with these three major sports. We'll get to all that next. Plus, we will get to the hunk managers of the 21st century in baseball. That's all coming up in the final hour with Stephen Langford, Kyle Madsen on the on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.